It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wakebright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
But the same thing to be kept in mind is that everyone who receives the premium tax credits, if premiums increase, then so do your premium tax credits. So it means that even with a premium increase, the difference in cost to you may be very limited.
Healthcare navigator Catherine Rollins explains what you need to do to enroll, re-enroll, or change healthcare plans for 2017, now that open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, started on November 1st and goes through January 31st, 2017. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn how TitleMax and its parent company were fined $9 million for lying, cheating, and stealing from borrowers in Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 295, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Last month, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, took action against TitleMax parent company TMX Finance, LLC, for luring customers into costly loan renewals by presenting them with misleading information about the deal's terms and costs. The lender also used unfair debt collection tactics that illegally exposed information about debts to borrowers' employers, friends, and family. The Bureau ordered TMX Finance to stop its unlawful practices and pay a $9 million penalty. TMX Finance is one of the country's largest car title lenders, with more than 1,300 storefronts in 18 states. TMX Finance offers title and personal loans through a host of state subsidiaries under the names TitleMax, TitleBox, and InstaLoan. Single-payment auto title loans are usually due in 30 days, with some carrying an annual percentage rate of up to 300%. To qualify for the loan, a consumer must bring in a lien-free vehicle and its title as collateral. The CFPB found that store employees, as part of their sales pitch for the 30-day loans, offered consumers a monthly option for making loan payments. They then offered consumers a voluntary payback guide that showed how to repay the loan with smaller payments over a longer period of time. But the guide and sales pitch did not explain the true cost of the loan if the consumer renewed it multiple times. TMX Finance employees also unlawfully exposed sensitive personal information during field visits to consumers' homes, references, and places of employment in attempts to collect debts. The order addresses a period from July 21, 2011 to the present. Specifically, the Bureau found that TMX Finance presented consumers with misleading information about loan terms. TMX Finance employees asked consumers how much they wanted to pay each month or how long they wanted to take to pay off the 30-day loan. The guide and sales pitch distracted consumers from the fact that repeatedly renewing the loan, as encouraged by TMX Finance employees, would dramatically increase the loan's cost. In addition, some employees revealed information about consumers' past due debt while visiting consumers' homes, references, or places of employment. Lastly, TMX Finance also made in-person debt collection attempts despite knowing that visitors were not permitted at the consumer's workplace. Under the order, TMX Finance is required to stop abusive loan repayment policies, stop intrusive visits to consumers' homes or workplaces, and pay a $9 million penalty. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. We're here at the Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and we are speaking with Catherine Rollins, a certified healthcare navigator, and we will be talking about the open enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, which started yesterday, November the 1st, and goes through January the 31st, 2017. Welcome back to the show, Catherine.
Thank you so much for having me.
So would you tell our listeners exactly what is the health insurance marketplace?
The health insurance marketplace is a place where individuals living in Virginia and also elsewhere in the U.S., but we're speaking about Virginia, can go online and compare health plans side by side. So they're able to compare with basic, all of the information should be pretty standardized, so they can compare everything and find the health plan that meets their needs.
So tell us, who can buy health insurance through the health insurance marketplace in Virginia?
In the state of Virginia, anyone who is, they must have some sort of legal presence in the United States. So whether that's a visa, a work permit, a permanent residence, or of course citizens, they must be a resident of Virginia. They cannot be incarcerated. They cannot have access to other affordable or adequate health insurance, which we're generally speaking about insurance through the job, insurance through Medicare, Medicaid, or through veterans benefits.
Now, you mentioned two terms. You must not have affordable health care elsewhere, and also you must not have adequate healthcare elsewhere. Can you tell us more about those two requirements?
Yes, thank you for asking about that. I just want to clarify, too, that if an individual does have access to perhaps healthcare through a job, they can still technically enroll through the exchange in Virginia, but not with the subsidies that's going to lower their costs. But as far as those two requirements, adequate generally means that the health coverage that they are offered pays at least 60% of their healthcare costs when they use their health insurance. And affordable means that their coverage costs less than 9.66% of their household income.
Now, I understand that to get insurance through the health insurance marketplace in Virginia, you can neither be too rich or too poor. Can you tell us more specifically what that means?
So technically anyone is eligible for, or anyone who meets the citizenship or presence requirements can enroll in coverage through the marketplace. However, to receive financial assistance or premium tax credits to assist in the cost of your health coverage, you must be between 100% of the federal poverty level and 400% of the federal poverty level. If you are outside of those parameters, you would be paying the full cost of your health insurance premium. So for a single adult, 100% is about $11,880 in a year, and 400% is just shy of $50,000 for a household of one.
Now, what if someone has an illness or a pre-existing condition and they want to buy insurance through the health insurance marketplace?
Well, since the passage of the Affordable Care Act, that is no longer taken into consideration. So on the application for healthcare, they are not allowed to ask you any questions about your medical history or any medical status, with the exception of the question whether or not you have smoked regularly in the past 6 months. Aside from that, any sort of medical history that individual has will not be held against them.
And apart from the differences between what it would cost to insure a smoker or a non-smoker, are there any other differences that are allowed in the health insurance marketplace in terms of what people pay?
Yes, absolutely. So the main differences are going to be based on age, geographic location. So they're going to take into consideration your zip code, because prices do change based on where you're located in the state, just like availability of different plan options are going to change. But the big determining factor is also going to be the age of that individual. The younger individuals are generally going to pay less, and it's going to get more expensive as that individual ages. However, premium tax credits do tend to offset that a good bit.
And since you've mentioned premium tax credits a number of times, can you elaborate on that and explain exactly how that works?
Yes. So premium tax credits, it's an amount of financial assistance that the government is willing to pay on behalf of an individual to lower the cost of their monthly health insurance premium. So at the time of an application for coverage, an individual is asked what they estimate that their income is going to be for the year that they are applying. So we're talking about open enrollment, so that'll be 2017. And based on the estimate that they provide, they are assessed eligible for a certain number of tax credits each month. And that's an amount that is going to be taken off the top of any health insurance premium. So just for example, if I were to apply and estimate my income and my eligibility results said that I was eligible for $150 worth of premium tax credits each month, it means that if I choose a plan that would normally cost $200 per month, then I will be only responsible for the remaining $50. And then the $150 is paid on my behalf each month directly to my insurance company of choice.
And are those premium tax credits available for all plans or just for some plans?
Those are available for all plans for individuals who are between that 100% and 400%. They may be eligible for tax credits, but they are applicable to all of the metal tiers.
And how is the tax credit actually determined based on the cost of which plan?
So they're actually determined based on the second lowest cost silver plan. So the whole purpose of the premium tax credit is to keep health coverage below a certain percentage of each individual's income. And that percentage is determined based on where they fall in that federal poverty level that we've spoken about before. So the individuals who are lower on that poverty level are going to be expected to pay a much lower percentage of their income towards health insurance than individuals who are higher on that poverty level. So the benchmark plan is that second lowest cost silver plan, and how much tax credit an individual gets is based on how much assistance it would take to take that second lowest cost silver plan and get it below their allowed percentage of household income.
And so you mentioned a silver plan. I understand there's a number of different plans, gold, silver, bronze. Can you elaborate on those and explain what they are?
Absolutely. Yeah. So and I'm speaking mostly about the Central Virginia region, there are technically four different metal tiers. Well, technically five. There are catastrophic plans that are only available for individuals who are under 30, and they're going to cover less than 60% of their healthcare costs. Bronze plans are going to have the lowest costs per month as far as premium, but they're going to have the highest deductibles and generally will cost the individual the most when they actually use their health coverage. They cover on average about 60% of your healthcare costs. Silver plans cover about 70%, and they're going to be a little more expensive than the bronze, but have lower deductibles. And then gold are going to cover about 80%, and they're going to have the highest premium costs, but they're going to have the lowest deductibles.
So let's assume someone is either enrolling in Obamacare for the first time or is thinking about re-enrolling either in the same plan or perhaps changing plans. What are the factors that they should take into consideration?
Well, the biggest factor that most people are going to take into consideration is their premium cost each month. Obviously, everyone wants to keep that cost as low as they can get it. But the other things that they should take into consideration are what is their deductible, the out-of-pocket cap, so the maximum they could ever be required to pay in a year. And lastly, what copay, if any, they're required to pay. You know, I always say you should also take into consideration your particular health status. So if you're an individual that goes to the doctor a lot, perhaps you have to see a specialist every few months, then obviously you're going to want to know how much, what's your copay for that specialist visit? Can you access that specialty care prior to the deductible? So factors like that are going to be the most important.
And do all of the health insurance plans sold through the marketplace cover all medical providers, or do they only cover some?
They're all going to have their own specific networks. It's similar to if an individual has ever had health insurance elsewhere. There's always going to be a network within which they're generally required to stay. But it's true that at least in the Central Virginia region, many of the plans available through the marketplace are going to be HMO or EPO plans, which means that they will have a set network that an individual would need to stay inside of, or they will not receive cover for the or receive coverage for those services.
So if someone were coming to you to either enroll or re-enroll or thinking about changing their health insurance plan, ideally, what documentation would you like them to bring?
In a perfect world, they would bring their most recent pay stub so we can get a good calculation on what they think their income will be for the next year. They would bring a list of all of their prescription drugs, as well as a list of all of the doctors that they would like to keep, just to make sure that we can adequately compare the plans side by side. And then if they are an individual who is not a citizen, if they can bring a copy of their green card or whatever, a work permit, just in case the marketplace asks for proof of that.
And so if someone already has health insurance through the health insurance marketplace and they do absolutely nothing, what happens?
For most people, they will automatically be re-enrolled in the same plan that they had last year if it is offered, or they will be enrolled automatically in the most similar plan. Everyone at this point should have received a notice detailing kind of what their particular circumstance is. Generally, it'll say, if you do nothing, you will be enrolled in this plan at this particular price. But I'd like to say I don't recommend this auto-enrollment process. We generally recommend that individuals go back through and update their income and take a look at their application again, because new plans are added all the time, so you just never know. There may be one that meets their needs more, or they may have an update that they need to make that they've forgotten about.
And there's been a lot in the news about the cost of the health insurance premiums rising significantly here, figures like 25% and more. But as I understand, that may not be true for Virginia, certainly for the Richmond area, and may not be true if you look at the actual bottom line cost to the consumer. So could you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So in the state of Virginia, my understanding is that the average increases we're seeing are about 10%. Not 25, as I know has been reported elsewhere. And I know in Massachusetts, which has now had an exchange for about a decade, their insurance premiums have gone down by about 3%, which is an understanding that we could perhaps look forward to that in the future. But the same thing to be kept in mind is that everyone who receives the premium tax credits, if premiums increase, then so do your premium tax credits. So it means that even with a premium increase, the difference in cost to you may be very limited.
And talking about cost to the consumer, I also understand there is yet another form of assistance in addition to the premium tax credits that's available. It's called cost sharing. So could you elaborate on that?
Yes, cost sharing is actually a reduction in your out-of-pocket costs when you actually use your health insurance. So premium tax credits, you get that assistance each month, whether or not you use your health insurance at all. Premium tax credits is only for silver plans and only for individuals who are between 100% and 250% of the federal poverty level. Those figures are online for anyone who's interested. But that just means it lowers your out-of-pocket costs, things such as your copays, deductibles, and your out-of-pocket maximum. All of those will be lower for individuals who qualify for the cost-sharing reduction.
And would you tell our listening audience who has to have health insurance starting in 2017? In fact, who's been required to have it for the past 3 years?
Well, technically speaking, everyone is required to have health insurance. There are a few market exceptions. Individuals who are undocumented are not required to have health insurance. Anyone who falls into Virginia's Medicaid gap, so that would be an individual who makes less than 100% of the federal poverty level, will not be penalized for not having health insurance because the coverage offered to them will be unaffordable. As well as anyone who's below 138% of the federal poverty level and therefore would have qualified for Medicaid if Virginia had expanded, those individuals are not required to have health insurance. As well as anyone who is incarcerated and members of Native American tribes, there's quite a sizable list of individuals who may qualify for exemptions from the penalty. But if we're speaking generally, everyone is required to have health insurance.
And so you just mentioned penalties. So what are those penalties and when and how are they imposed?
So for the year 2016, for this tax year, the penalty for not having health insurance for the entire year is going to be $695 per adult, 50% of that per child, or up to 2.5% of the household income. And that will be assessed on your tax return. So if you are eligible for a tax refund, you will receive less whatever amount of penalty you are being assessed.
So I know there are some very strict deadlines to get coverage for 2017, and even more importantly for coverage that will start on January 1st of 2017. So let us know what they are.
Yes. So anyone who enrolls between November 1st and December 15th will get coverage that starts January the 1st. So the last day to enroll for coverage starting January 1st will be December the 15th. But the last day to enroll in coverage for 2017 will be January the 31st.
And as in the past, I understand that there are special enrollment periods that would be available even after that January 31st deadline, but that's not for everyone. Can you give us the major categories of people who might be eligible past January 31st to enroll?
Yes, there's quite a list of them, but you're right that the most important ones are going to be anyone who loses coverage. So if their job-based coverage ends, they get 60 days to enroll in coverage. Anyone who is incarcerated and is released from incarcerations will also have that 60-day window. The last one that I always like to talk about is anyone who is in Virginia's Medicaid gap at the time of open enrollment, so an individual who makes less than 100% of the federal poverty level, who then receives an increase in income that puts them into eligibility for tax credits. So an individual who was unemployed at the time of open enrollment and then gains employment sufficient to put them over 100% would get a 60-day window from that income change to enroll in coverage outside of the open enrollment period.
And so open enrollment started yesterday. We've got a little less than 3 months to do it. So how do people contact a healthcare navigator to get some help in figuring out what plan to enroll in or re-enroll in or to change to another plan entirely?
The best way would be to call the Enroll Virginia 888 number. It's 1-888-392-5132. Anyone who calls that number will be asked for their zip code, and then they will be forwarded to the office closest to that zip code. In the Central Virginia region, our office is 804-200-6035.
And lastly, in order to get the word out and make it even easier for people to enroll and do their comparison shopping, I understand there are a number of events that will take place in Greater Richmond over the next month and a half, 2 months. Would you tell our audience about that?
Absolutely. First of all, I'd say go to enrollva.org. That is our website. So that's enrollva.org. And there is an events page on our website that you can search and find all of the events in your area throughout open enrollment. Other than that, though, we will be hosting several large events. On November the 18th, there is a large enrollment event at Diversity Thrift in Richmond from 11 to 6. No appointments are necessary. On December the 10th, we'll be having an enrollment event at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Petersburg from 10 to 3. On December the 11th, we will be hosting an event here at our office at Central Virginia Legal Aid Society in Richmond at 101 West Broad Street. We will be hosting an enrollment event from 11 to 4. We will also be hosting an event on December the 15th at the main library in Richmond from 2 to 6, where enrollment assisters will be available to assist with enrollment.
Well, thank you very much. We have been speaking with Catherine Rollins. She is a certified healthcare navigator, and we have been talking about the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and the open enrollment period, which started yesterday, November 1st, and goes through January the 31st, 2017. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. In Virginia, when someone is assessed court costs and fines, they must pay in full or establish a payment plan within 30 days or lose their driver's license. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when Angela Cholfi at the Legal Aid Justice Center talks about the lawsuit challenging this practice that has caused almost 900,000 Virginians to lose their license. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.